sermon this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. Please turn with me there. That's on page 578 of your pew Bible. Psalm 46, verse 1 and following. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Pray with me. Our Father, as we look at your great word, these words that you have given us to sing, and as you have promised us, all scripture is inspired by you and useful for teaching, for instruction, for training in righteousness. God, move in us now to embrace your word. Move in us now, Father, so that we will properly acknowledge you and glorify you. Help us now, Father, and change us and make us so we will be different, closer to you, acknowledging you more and more, knowing you more and more, and living lives more in accordance with your word for the rest of our days. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yesterday, my daughter asked me to put her up into a tree. I lifted her into the branches, and she shot like a monkey up through the branches. As she climbed higher and higher, I thought, well, that looks like a good time. So I climbed up with her, and I climbed higher and higher. And then when I was there and it was time to get down, I remembered that old feeling, that fear. When you remember, oh yes, it's easier to get up than to get down, isn't it? And I wondered about each branch as I reached and as I tried to climb down. I know that you've all experienced that and felt that. And I was reminded a couple of years ago when we had TFY students, we were at the McMillan's house, and I looked and one of the TFY students was climbing a tree. As I stood, I looked at him, and there was a branch that went and angled up sharply, and he took his hands off of the base of the tree and just balanced on this one branch and walking sideways up this branch with nothing else to hold on to. And I thought, he is either really good at climbing trees or he is really bad at climbing trees. A few moments later, I see his arms begin to flail. He leans backwards and comes through several branches towards the ground and towards me, and he crashed to the ground. I looked at him and thought, boy, what are you doing? He got up and looked at that tree, and he went around to it again, and he jumped up and starts climbing the tree, and he grabs a branch that was obviously rotten and dead and grabbed it with two hands and yanked on it. It snapped. He fell to the ground again. I looked at this young man and said, what are you doing? You don't grab dead branches. And he said, oh, sorry, I don't can't really tell the difference between a live branch and a dead branch. You know, many of us, we find ourselves in this world, we find ourselves up high, we find ourselves with part of fall. We find ourselves with that bit of fear in our hearts again as we look and we see a world that's uncertain. We look at one another and we wonder, can I really trust you? We may look at our church and wonder, can I really trust you? Our elders, our pastor, can I really trust you? Look at our employers. Can I really trust you? When this young man said, I can't really tell the difference between a branch that's alive and a branch that's dead, I said, well, you look and you look for life. You look and see, does it have leaves? Is this something alive, something that I can grab a hold of, something that I can trust in? As we look at this scripture, we see that we make this proclamation every time we sing this psalm. God is my refuge. God is my strength. The living God, something alive that we can grab hold of, something that we can grab on to, something that we can trust. As we look and we look through this world and we see so much that we can't trust. Any of us who are old or any of us who have lived in the world, we have had people let us down. We have had institutions let us down. Many of us have had elders let us down. We have had pastors let us down. The question is, what will you grab a hold of? What is your refuge? What is your strength? This morning, as we look at this psalm, as we look at the Word of God, I'm calling upon you to make certain that it is Christ. Make certain that Christ is your refuge. Make certain that Christ is your strength. Only He is completely alive. Yes, we look at one another and we see light shine from one another, maybe somewhat consistently. Maybe from time to time, but we still will all fall short. And as you are always in danger of falling short, as you will indeed fall short, make sure you hold this branch, the shoot who is Christ, and cling fast to that. Now, as we consider this world, as we consider the heights that we walk in, the places where we are, the dangers that we always have to fall, as the psalmist said in the one psalm that we sang, my ear watching and my foot is indeed in danger of slipping. Even now, your foot is in danger of slipping. Even now, the things that you choose to grasp, the things that you hold on to, are things that may let you down. Things that may allow you to fall. And I want you to sense this tension in your life. Many of you are probably in the midst of a trial even now. In danger, threatened, not sure of the future. Maybe even each night filled with an anxiety. In the midst of these anxieties and these fears, I'll have you remember who is in charge of the things you go through, even now. Look with me at verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. And let's focus for a moment simply on God Himself, this idea of God. And He's more than an idea, He's a person. I love that Scripture starts off Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't start with any apologetic or explanation or excuse for God or any way that God came to be. It's just simply, in the beginning, God was there. This word for God, I say it's a generic term. Don't take that in a bad way when I say generic, like you go to the store and you're picking out a generic brand. It's just this broad idea, God, just simply how everyone else would walk through the world and speak of God as heathens would walk through the world and talk about their God. The word is Elohim. It's just simply God. But we see here, as we reflect back on Genesis, that they are knowing, and we know, that this is the God who created heaven and earth. So a literal translation of the word can simply be rulers or judges. We say, God, we are indeed speaking of a ruler. We are indeed speaking of a judge. We are indeed speaking of the ruler. the judge. We are saying the most high ruler, the highest judge, is indeed our God. Now, as we look at this world, we may begin to wonder what kind of ruler he is. A line from the movie Chariots of Fire, as someone looked at a situation that was going on, it was supposed to be an organized event, and a man said, "I've seen more organized riots." We may look at this world and think that. We may look at the planet and think that. We may look at nations and think that. "I have seen more organized riots." We may look at our own nation and say, "I have seen more organized riots." We may look at our community. If you've been to a borough council meeting, you may say, "I have seen more organized riots." You may look at our church and say, "I have seen more organized riots." You may look at your own life and say, "I have seen more organized riots." And we think, and God is in control? We think, and God is in charge? He's the judge? He's the ruler? And wonder, what kind of God is this? As we look at chaos, as we look at a mess, as we look at pain, as we look at suffering, we look at sickness, we look at death. The truth is, he is a phenomenal artist. A phenomenal artist. Perhaps you've seen paintings that when you zoom in close, it doesn't look like anything. It looks like a mess. It looks like splatters. And you wouldn't know what it is looking at it closely. But then as you move back and as you step back, you see things form. You see images take, as if they were just being born in that moment, coming together. And as you step back further and you see a beautiful tapestry, you look and you see a beautiful mural. And you see faces and places. You see lights and darks. You see things shine together. Things work together to bring this one enormous, beautiful picture. If you think your life is a mess, if you think that it doesn't make sense, if you watch the news and it's a mess and it doesn't make sense, you're just zooming into one piece of this mural. And all of these parts will indeed come together. The lights and indeed the darks that you may even be sitting in now. And know that God is the artist. He's the most amazing artist. And all of these pieces will indeed come together for this great picture that we just looked at in the book of Revelation. Where you are brought, adorned and beautiful to the sun. And I'd have you remember that in the midst of these pains, this is your washing. This is your washing. I know most of your sorrows. I know most of your pains. I know the hot tears that have run down your cheeks. And I can promise you this is your washing. I can promise you these miseries are you being made beautiful for that last great day. As we look and as we sing, God is our rescue, our refuge and our strength. So in the midst of the madness, in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the betrayal, we have this confidence that someone is in charge. But I'll have you keep in mind the colossal pains that you will face, and I call upon you now, do not underestimate the colossal dangers that will come. Look with me at verses 2 and 3. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at the swelling pride. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered, he raised his voice, the earth melted. As we consider the idea of earth itself being shaken and undone, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a position where you've stood along a creek and you're not realizing underneath the bank had been washed away. The idea of when you think you're standing somewhere secure, you think you're standing somewhere steadfast, and all of a sudden the world is moved, the earth is moved. And where you were standing that you thought was safe turned out as hollow underneath. This world is like that. As you would walk and as you would think that the place you're standing is secure, we look and God talks about mountains being moved and sliding into the sea. I saw a news video recently of people were on a tour and they were looking at glaciers. And as they were going along, some bits and chunks fell off of this glacier and they were amused and thought that that was cool. And then there was this rumbling as they looked at this mountain of ice. And then this whole piece of this mountain shifted. And it was so large in live action, it looked like it was falling in slow motion. And it rotated and came towards the boat. And the people on the boat began to scream, as it looked indeed as if a mountain was being hurled into the sea. Your world will look like that. From time to time, your world will indeed look like that, as if a mountain is falling at you. Question is, what is your refuge as the earth is undone? What is your strength as the world is undone? What branch do you grab? What branch will you hold? Because these pains are real. The threats are real. I would have you think of the church early on as people went and as they evangelized, as they offered people the gospel. And from there, as people received Christ, they would be taken to an arena and placed there, bound on their knees, and lions would be released to come and destroy them. The gospel, the good news, the Christian life is not a promise of ease. Indeed, in many cases, it will be a promise of suffering in this world. I offer you nothing less than persecution, and suffering, and pain, and trials in the midst of this world. And indeed, it may very well happen in the midst of some of your lifetimes, or we are arrested if we stand for Scripture. Many people say that men of my generation and the generation that I'm training, they'll get to the place if you preach Romans 12, Romans 1, you may indeed be arrested. It's already happening in Canada. The threats are real. Imprisonment. Loss of income. Your wives, your children hungry. The threats are real. And even your own life may be threatened. But in the midst of this, we must push forward. And we oftentimes will indeed find ourselves at a loss. So what comfort do I offer you in the face of lions and mountains being hurled? Again, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We look and we see a promise. How can we say God is with us? How can we say He is our strength? How can we say He is our stronghold? Is it because we're good enough? Is it because you haven't sinned this week, so God will be your strength? You've repented enough. You've done enough, so God will be your stronghold. Well, we look back and the church would always have remembered in the Old Testament what God had said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, Now the Lord said to Abraham, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. You see, we have this promise, and we know that we are indeed the children of Abraham. We are the heirs of a promise that is centuries old and will indeed extend into eternity. As Abraham is called the father of the faithful. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, Christ was saying to the Jews who were without faith, the Jews who would not embrace him and therefore reject the Father, I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You embraced of God, you called from around the planet will indeed sit at the table in the kingdom of heaven. How? By embracing Christ. By embracing Christ. By being aware of your own crimes. By hating your own crimes. By trusting that Christ paid for your crimes. Calling on the name of Jesus. You are heir of this great promise. From that place, you can sing, God is our refuge and strength. Though the earth be removed, though mountains great be hurled into the sea, we will not fear. Because of Christ, you are kin to the Most High, kindred of one another, and protected for all eternity, though mountains be removed, though nations tumble, shattered, though your country may fall apart, though your community may fall apart, though your family may fall apart, though your job may be taken away, though you may be thrown in jail, God is your refuge and strength if you do indeed trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's this idea that we are, I don't know how many of you have been close to drowning. For me, it was just about the most unpleasant experience of my life. Being in a position where you can no longer have the strength to hold your head above the water anymore. Well, maybe you've seen lifeguards. There were rules when I was a lifeguard. You try to reach them with your hand or with something else. If you can't reach them, you have to throw something to them for them to grab a hold of. And we had these life buoys that you would throw out to people. See, where you are throughout your life, you are drowning. And there's offers for you. Things being thrown to you. And one of those lines is Christ. One of those lines is Christ. You can pick another line. You can grab it. You will find no strength. You will find a loose rope. You will sink to your death. But if the line you grab is Christ, you have an eternal refuge and eternal strength. You do indeed have salvation. And this is the great promise of God given. Now, as we march through this world and we again have this statement we make, God is our refuge and strength in verse 1. We see in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. I call upon you to look to God as your strength. Look to God to fill everything you lack. And this is one of the ways that this is spoken to me. And I hope this is meaningful for you. As you consider your miseries in your life and your pains and your sorrows, the things that you have been through, the things that you are going through. If you imagine your heart, and sometimes I imagine mine as porcelain, and these cracks in it, in danger of falling apart, Imagine God filling each of those cracks. Every weakness that you have, filled. Every loneliness that you have, filled. Every wound, filled. Let's think in terms of our weakness now. As we say He's our refuge, as we say He is our strength. The miseries that are in this world are phenomenal. The longer I live, the more I'm seeing, and the more I hate this place. Not Eastvale congregation. This planet. This world of misery. I got a call. I got a message this morning that this, as I said in our prayer, that this little boy that we've been ministering to, his father has committed suicide. What do you do? What do you do with that? As I minister to families where fathers are abandoning their families, they're leaving. What do you do with that? As you encounter people throughout the community, throughout your family, with endless needs, what do you do? As you are utterly exhausted, what do you do? How do we work? How do we push forward? How do we live? Well, we look here and we see this statement, God is our strength. And we look to Him to fill everything that we lack. You must look to Him to fill everything that you lack. You know, our days aren't always the same, are they? You know, some days we get up in the morning and we just walk out the door as if nothing were wrong. And we have the power to do that. We go through our day. We do our chores as if we can do it. Sometimes it works that way. Some days we get up and we're a bit tired and it's not as easy. Some days we get up and we charge forward as if we were young and we had all the strength in the world. But then there's those other days. There's those other days where we get up and we see a mountain in front of us. One that we know we can't climb. A mountain, we know we can't do it. We know we can't do it. We look at it and we failed on smaller slopes. From that place where you stand and you have 1 foot forward, and you know you can't even put one more foot forward. You know that you can't take one more step. It's there that you know. It's there that you know that you can't do it. You can't do it. One more step. From there, you must say, God is our refuge and our strength. For my next step, not even looking at the mountain anymore. Not even looking at the one slope in front of you anymore. But just for this next step. And from there, you step. From there, you push forward. How? How will you do it? By believing in yourself? Never. Knowing you are weak, by singing, God is our refuge and our strength, we take one more step. And then one more step. Because God is our strength, foot by foot, inch by inch. And as we walk, as we press forward, as we choose the branch to grab, as we choose the rope to grab, as we choose the strength, as we choose to take that one more step, from there we find something beautiful. as there is power offered in the face of our sin, in the face of each struggle. Look with me at verses 2 through 4. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The beautiful thing is that there is no river that runs through Jerusalem. There is no river that runs through the city of God. We look and we can, I'd have you consider Ezekiel 36 and 37, where it talks about the people being washed with water, washed with the Spirit. The strength that comes to God's people, the strength that comes to God's people is no great river that flows. It is this stream that comes. The Holy Spirit that comes, washed with water, washed with the Spirit. We use it the same way. A strengthening that comes. We see here that it makes glad the city of God. This imagery is beautiful as mountains are quaking and then we see a sea roaring and foaming. A sea is a monstrous thing. The sea was a monstrous thing to the Hebrews. They stayed inland and when they came they would look at the ocean and they would shake their heads. It was the picture of death for them. These waves blowing and raging and churning. What is the answer? God's answer to the sea and its swelling pride, its roaring and its foaming, is this stream that flows. One of the beautiful things about God is He has this casual might. Take that in for a moment. He has this casual might. As you see, I've seen wrestlers who go out and there's this guy and he was a heavyweight and he would jump up and down before he went out and he would slap his thighs and he would slap his face and he would stretch and he'd go over and punch the padded walls and he would get himself so charged and he would stretch and you'd look at him and you'd think, oh, look at this monster. Look at his strength. Look at his power. Or what an idiot. Either one. I don't know. But God comes and He doesn't have to stretch out. You know, He doesn't have to slap Himself around. He doesn't have to get Himself worked up. He doesn't have to exercise. He doesn't have to flex and show you how great He is. His answer to this raging ocean is just this casual stream that comes and undoes it. His calmness is, He's quiet. He's peaceful. This great King came. I read this and I don't know where, but it talked about the wars raging in the Old Testament and these things building and these expectations for this great king to come. And then this 400 years of silence, it said it was as if God was taking a deep breath to speak. And then when he speaks with the cry of a baby. He comes as the suffering servant. He comes in meekness. This is your God with a casual might to rescue nations, a casual might to change the world, a casual might to rescue you. A calm, gentle word spoken in the Scriptures. So this gladness should look like something. One of the beautiful things that we find in Scripture so often from the psalmist is after he cries out, after he's in his misery, after he's in his pain, after the cords of death are all over him, after the waves are over his head, after he calls on God and God rescues him, the response is worship and love for the assembly. Worship in the assembly and love for the assembly. So much has been lost in our nation as people are forsaking the assembly. So much is lost as they miss this idea but I call upon you to rejoice in the assembly. Chapter 46, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That is us, the assembly, the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Do you know that He meets with us as we come here? He dwells with us as we come here? That this is indeed a sacred assembly? As the people would go with joy to the temple, we should be coming with joy here as we are the temple? Living stones built together where God dwells and gives His special habitation to meet with you and to change you. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. I say to you now, look around and behold the works of the Lord. Behold what He has done in your own heart. Behold what He has done in the hearts of your brothers and sisters. Behold, look around and see those who dwelt in darkness but have seen a great light because God's light has shone on them. See those who were villains and have been rescued and have been made sons and daughters. See those who were in utter darkness but who have been sat at the table of God for all eternity. Behold the wonders of God. Behold the works of God. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Your branch that is alive and will not be broken. Your rope that is tied secure. Your strength to fill in every crack in your heart. To fill every weakness. The strength for the mountain before you, one step at a time. Anything else, you drown. Any other branch will crack. Every other rope will come loose. But you have one strength to cling to. The Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave up His life for you. Make this your stronghold. Make this person your stronghold. Your refuge and strength. Pray with me. A great and powerful God, again, we praise You for all that You have done. Our Father, apply this word to our heart with power, with strength, so that we will love Your Son more and more and be more and more who You have called us to be, so others will be moved towards You. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.